Welcome back, everybody. Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my God. It's been so long. I've missed everybody.
I've also missed everybody too.
I haven't really missed Tim because I've seen Tim.
I also missed sleeping and yeah. Just general well-being.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I definitely miss sleeping and not feeling like I've lifted a truck over my head four times in a day.
This is Pittsburgh's most mediocre podcast, and tonight might be the most mediocre-est episode ever.
I mean, we are definitely not in prime shape tonight.
we're gonna do it.
So you guys may have noticed I named this Multi-Store of Madness. The reason I did that is because, we technically have two waterfront spaces right now. Yes, it is, Ron. I fucking love my hair. It's gorgeous and it bounces. So, but anyway, we technically have two waterfront spaces right now because we have the old space that we're moving out of. And we have the new space that for the last almost week we have been pushing everything into. So it's been nuts. Like, thank you to any of you guys who came out. Ron, I know I saw you there Saturday, or I'm sorry, Sunday night. Like, everybody has been awesome. You know, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. We're almost at the point where I can go, okay, guys, don't worry about it. Just hang up some banners and posters. Let's decorate. So we will get to that point. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. Promise.
You can see it. The vision is there. It's very close.
It is. It's getting there. It's getting there. I am. I'm really happy with the progress we've made. Or at least the progress we made before I left the other day. We'll see how it is. Me not being there for 2 days.
The last 2 days.
I cannot tell you how happy I was when you called me and said, I'm in the other space doing X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, oh my God, they actually went to the old space. Oh my God.
For the last 2 days.
Happy. Yeah. Oh my God. So happy that it was actually starting to move in the right direction. But anyway, make sure you guys come and check it out. We moved just down the aisle to right beside Old Navy. And then the Mills location is absorbing all of those dollar books. How, you ask? We are expanding the Mills. There was a space beside us where on Saturday night, we're going to rip a hole in the wall. And then next week, all those dollar books that were there that were left are coming up and hanging out there from now on. So it's going to be kind of fun. But it's been nuts. So nuts. So, but the new space does look great. Yeah,
a lot of good feedback from people coming in.
Hopefully they like it, and it's not, oh, why did you shrink the store?
No, they're all like, it flows better. Like, it feels like it has more purpose everywhere in the store that you go. And I'm like, yes.
Well, it's because everything's not spread out anymore.
Yeah, but like, it feels more like a comic store than it did before. And they're not wrong. I mean, before it was like, just put stuff and spread it out for the sake of spreading it out because you have a Best Buy that's empty. So,
yep. So, but yeah, it's a good time. Make sure you guys come and check it out. And while you're down there, pick up your tickets for Three Rivers Comic Con because you have
quarter, baby.
23 days from today. 23 from today. And if anybody missed it, we announced that Joe Linsner and his wife, Christina Linsner, are going to be there for this year's show. We announced that this morning. So
they need to do like a trip.
What? Yeah. So, yeah. So now, because he's showing up, we're adding a different package to the ticket packaging. So all you guys who already bought your tickets, if you want to do this, you actually have to call ShowClicks, change it over and redo the money. But we have a every year beer package. It's the VIP Plus. So it's the regular VIP package, but you get one of every year's beer before that, plus this year's two beers. And tomorrow you'll be able to see the beautiful art that Howard Chaykin has done for that label. So make sure you guys check that out. It's going to be epic. So, I was going to say something else about that and I lost it. Oh, speaking of Howard Chaykin, confirmed this morning, he will be doing an open Q&A as one of the panels. Also confirmed today for a panel, pretty much every creator that has done Spider-Man that's coming to the show. We're going to have like a seven-man Spider-Verse panel. So oh, nice. Ron Frenz, Pat Olive, Brett Breeding, Matt Horak, who am I missing? I haven't heard back from Rick Leonardi yet, and I haven't heard back from Wayne Foucher's on board. So literally, I'm waiting on Rick Leonardi, and then we've had every single person who's worked on Spider-Man in one form of another come to the show.
Panel of madness.
Oh yeah, dude, it's gonna be crazy. Yeah, the multi-panel of madness. The Spider-Verse panel, you know, I'm probably going to go to that one, and I'm probably going to go to the Howard Chaykin Q&A because that's just awesome. I also just want to know how he figured out how to do Raul the cat for American Flag, because he has like cybernetic hands with the pet, like real gloves. So he has like an opposable thumb. Like, he was always one of my favorite characters from that. So make sure you guys check out American Flag. But yeah, we're like 3 weeks out. It's getting down to the nitty gritty, guys. So if you're coming, it's going to be a good time. But I guess we could talk comics now. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We're going to be doing that a lot. Yeah. So, I know it's
got that we read comic books and that I have screenshots for some stuff is like, where I found the energy. I don't know where you found the energy. You did that Sunday.
So. I started on Saturday, sir.
Well, I don't know anything. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Saturday I ripped down the toy racks and set them up and we built the counter.
Like late night.
Late night. I got there at 6. We left there at midnight. I was back there at 8 o'clock on Sunday. I didn't leave until 9 p.m. And we had back issues put in, most of the trades, all the bookcases, and the toys were set back up, and then the wall was attached. And then Monday, we reset some cases because they needed to get to they needed to get to the roof to attach the sign and stuff.
I'm going to try just taking my headphones out.
Oh, no. I think you're fine, but that's just me.
No, he's probably
there right. There you go. Holy crap.
He's probably right, because I was using my wife's AirPods, and she gets complaints all the time when she's using them for work that they suck.
Well, then they suck, because you sound way better right now.
Yeah.
So. Dan Hanna, yes, it does flow well, and that was my floor plan, so I will take that as a thank you. I mean, dude, I got this shit down to an inch. It was crazy, like, because they were like, oh, can we move this like a foot? I'm like, no, you cannot move it a foot.
I got this down to an inch. Title of your sex tape.
Oh, hey,
sorry.
Oh, it was there was a lot of awkward moments like that over the weekend too.
Yeah.
But again, thank you everybody who came out and helped out. It meant a lot, and we super appreciate your help. So even the guys who were there for like an hour and had to dip, that was great. But let's move on, because we have a bunch of comics to talk about. We want to talk about Moon Knight. We want to talk about Doctor Strange, It's going to be crazy. So we'll get comics out of the way, and then we will do those in that order, because most likely you've probably watched Moon Knight already. You may not have watched Doctor Strange quite yet. Yeah. So, all right. My first book. Boom. Hulk Grand Design. Madness.
I love how this to the other cover, by the way. Like the other one that was the green one.
Yeah, yeah. They mirror and they match up and make the make the face. This was cool. Again, it's the second part of this. And I remember like all these little things. Like there's like the wedding where Thunderbolt Ross like shoots Rick Jones, and then like it's how many times can we split the Hulk and Banner? And then, oh man, we fused them back together and he turned gray. And oh crap, we created the leader. And then they did the whole Mr. Fix-It story. Like this thing hops so much, but it flows so well in a way that only Jim Rugg can make happen. And I just love it. Like, oh, then there's like the Marlowe thing where like Marlowe's alive, Marlowe's dead, Marlowe's alive dating Rick, Marlowe's dead, Marlo's alive again. Super Bazooka Hulk, White Shirt Hulk, White Shirt V-Cut Hulk, where it kind of looks like Luke Cage. The time when Betty and Hulk left to live in Sunville and he dressed like the Savage Dragon for a while. There was that. It was very good. Like it went all the way up. And I mean, like it ends with, I think, World War Hulk.
Oh wow, he went up that far.
Well, it was like World War Hulk, and then it hops to him being the Maestro in the second was it something future? I can't remember what it's called. Not Impossible Future. Something Future. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do, in the not original Maestro one, but in the
second one. Yeah.
Like the Battle World one?
I don't remember. Okay. It wasn't rolled a script because it's only like half a page, because it's like, and that's where we ended. Yeah. So he basically left it off right before the Al Ewing stuff.
Yeah, that's Ed and Tom went on theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Ed just finished up, I think, like the Claremont stuff, and then kind of stopped.
He went into the went into Jim Lee. Yeah.
Oh, he did go into that a little bit, because I remember him talking about the gold team and the blue team.
Yeah. So it was very good. I really recommend it. We do have some signed copies still floating around the company. There's probably some out at the mills. And he did a signing on Free Comic Book Day for us out there. It was awesome. So make sure you guys support Jim too. Support local creators. It's a good time.
And, put my pictures up.
Cool.
No, like it won't let me. You have to.
Oh, sorry, my bad. I was like, yeah, go ahead. Okay, sorry. I was literally just in a meeting before this. Where I did the same thing, but it wasn't my meeting, so I was like, I need to share the screen, and sorry.
Sorry.
Been a long day.
Okay. First one for me, this is Marauders number 2 by Steve Orlando. We'll go over real quick. So this is a little different than the previous team. No Pyro in this one. Kind of bums me out because Pyro was great in the previous Marauders. So this is our team. Somnus is one of the new additions. He was in the Marvel Voices Pride issue. And him and Deken had a thing for like an entire lifetime. How, you ask? His Somnus's power is to create like a dreamscape where you can live out your entire life in minutes. And then when you come out of it, you're, you know, the world's only moved so far. So this is the team. This is the new team. The big one is Cassandra Nova. You know, they added her and they're trusting her. And I understand everybody in Krakoa gets a fresh start, but this is kind of psychotic to me that she's on this team. But the current mission after the first episode or first issue is that they're rescuing the first mutants. They found out about these when Kate got a Mysterium box, which is the new metal that Krakoa made, a Mysterium box from like 100 years or something in the future that she sent to herself somehow. And inside there is a message that says, the first blood spilled, and it leads them to Shi'ar, and coming in contact with them. And you find out that there's been this powerful secret order called the Crimson Kin. And who is one of the members? Eric the Red. So that's where we kind of left off at, was this big battle where they're kind of like, whoa, Eric the Red, like, we remember you. You're kind of like a dick. You were Magneto one time, but like, you're also not Magneto. So my first note here is, you can see they kind of went to that anime style in this book, manga kind of style. Yeah. And I don't like it too much. The book is good. I don't hate the art. I just think it doesn't fit. It's a little goofy looking at times. You know, so
I actually would say it looks a little more like Disney.
Yeah.
Than manga, like anime.
Like with the nose and stuff like that, the way
That definitely looks more like Disney to me.
Yeah. So Eric the Red, big fight. During this fight, they get launched out into space. Eric the Red grabs the Mysterium box, and they're trying to figure out how to stop him. And they, you know, they have seconds left until they're going to die. And Somnus pulls them into their dreamscape so they could literally workshop a solution. He's like, this is just going to take us seconds in the real world, but we can live in here for, you know, forever. Till we come up with a solution, and we won't age in the real world. So while they're there, it goes back to the Shi'ar, and Chandelier, I think, is the new Majestrix of the Shi'ar throne world, and she's being told about this new the secret order, and they basically outrank her. They are this secret order that is not the, this is the Crimson Kin. They stay in the shadows until something of great significance comes, and they whisper in her ear and tell her what the first blood spilt means. And now all of a sudden she goes from wanting to help the X-Men to like that this secret can never get out and wants to kill them. Kind of ends a little abruptly. They're floating in space, and they're kind of still in their dreamscape when they're going to get gunned down by the Shi'ar. So overall, like the book, the first two issues, it's moved kind of quick. The colors are great. Like I said, the artwork is interesting. It's fun in some spots. Other spots, it's a little quirky, a little odd. But overall, this is... Eric the Red getting this Mysterium box. But overall, like, it was pretty fun first two issues. Like, I just miss Pyro and Iceman and kind of the more groundedness of being on Earth. So yeah. We'll see if Steve Orlando can pull it off. So he's a good writer.
Yeah, I've always liked Steve's stuff, and it sounds like it's pretty much right up his alley.
So. Yeah.
All right. My next book, Batman Beyond the White Knight number 2.
So good.
This book continues to kick ass all over the place. This book has a lot of Terry and Dick, and it's got a lot of Dick in it. but more importantly, you find out that Napier put a chip in Batman's brain.
Yeah.
And now he is like this weird, almost like Jarvis-y AI, except that he's still got his attitude.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that, like, you know, he now has to realize that this basically like hologram is kind of controlling where he's going. It's kind of cool that you get to see Neo Gotham for a couple good scenes. You see that Bruce still has it, even though that we find out that he's actually in his 60s at this point.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good plot development with Babs and Dick, because Dick really became a dick.
Yeah.
They still keep doing that shadow thing, which is awesome.
He loves to find wherever there's a character like Batman, the Joker, mm-hmm. Red Hood, whatever, and just put that shadow back there.
Mm. I thought it was cool that you know, they go to the safe house and the whole time the Joker chip guy, Napier guy, is like, "Oh, please tell me it's a new bat suit. Please tell me it's a new bat suit." And he's like, "Oh yeah, it's perfect. All black with yellow on the chest. Very retro. Tell me you're gonna put it on." Like, that's how I heard it in my head.
Yeah.
You know. And then all of a sudden Harley shows up and there's kind of a bit of a bomb at there, in which case the Napier chip guy also has a bit of a thing. This book, though,
yeah, that twist at the end,
yeah,
if you haven't read this, go pick it up now, because that twist at the end is great.
Yeah. And like, the art in this book is so good, the writing is so good. It's the most dirty Batman book we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
I love the
whole, he really gets what we loved about Batman when we watched the animated series and Batman Beyond, the cartoon, and mm-hmm. what we want as far as, like, as we grew up and became adults, like, without going too far overboard, like DC tends to like to do, you know, like, he's not just taken into like total darkness where there's no hope. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I really like the idea of him being a detective, and that's always my big thing, and that's what I really liked about this too, because they really kept him as a detective.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting to see, because there's a one shot for Robin coming out too.
Yeah.
That was like Red Hood's sidekick or something, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, there's a Red Hood one for sure. So
yeah.
Ron is right though. My hair is out of control tonight. I can't get it to calm down to the point where I can, like, be comfortable and it's not like completely flopping around. It must be really humid in my house. I don't know.
We're gonna get into like real Daniel Warren Johnson stuff.
Oh yeah.
Little bummed out when I found out he wasn't doing the art, but the
what? Guy that I thought he was.
No, he's just doing covers. But what? When I go through these pages, it's not Daniel Warren Johnson, but he found a guy, much like when Scotty Young writes a book and then mm-hmm. finds somebody that is very in tune with his style. He did the same thing. This guy's named Juan Gideon. Weiser still did the colors, so the colors look great. But the Jurassic League opens up. Here comes the ship. We all know whose ship this is, crashing down to Earth. It's Superman's ship from another world. But it's this super dinosaur dude. And it's an egg, and it lands, and then the egg hatches, hence Superman. So that's kind of where it starts. And then it just jumps right to this sick panel of Batman in the outskirts of Gotham City, which is, there's a lot of cool puns that are just kind of silly in this book. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of hunting through the jungle, trying to find somebody that is this kind of like supreme evil that's killing everybody. And his hunt takes him into a cave where he finds all these bodies kind of just like all tied together. And he runs in to the Joe Gizzard.
Yeah.
Yes. He runs into that guy. And they kind of have a little bit of a fight. And then we kind of jump around. There's like these different
Black Mantasaurus.
Yes. I don't want to get a shot of all these guys in their dino, their Jurassic form. But after the Batman thing, it kind of cuts to Black Mantasaurus, and he is kind of tormenting a bunch of people that are like fishing near a village by the water, but don't worry, they'll be saved by, and this is the only character that they didn't give a name for. Everybody gets this cool shout out with like their name, but Aquaman didn't. I don't know why. It's like the coolest Aquaman's ever been, besides Peter David stuff. We cut to Trimscaria, and we have the Wonder Woman type character who is talking to her mother about this vision that she has, and her mother is, you know, telling her that she needs to, you know, ever since they took down Ares, they've tried to live and be a peaceful example for people, but that if she has these visions and she feels that something's wrong, she needs to run towards that. So she gets dressed. She is the beloved Wonder Dawn.
Okay.
So, yeah. So she hops on her bird, flies off. I wish it was Invisible Bird. It's not. That would have been really like the icing on the cake if it was like, you know, an invisible one, but it's not. Then we cut to another village, and you get to meet Supersar. And Supersar is living in the village where he crashed. They kind of have his ship with the egg sitting there, and they all kind of like worship it. And his whole goal is that his family, his parents, who are human, found him, protected him, and now he's going to do the same for them until some danger arrives. And that danger arrives in the form of Giganta and Brontosauro. So,
wow.
And then that's kind of where it stops. So very much like some real short little intro stories for each one of the characters. And then here's like the antagonist and then the end of the book. So if you like Daniel Warren Johnson, then you'll love this. If you don't, please turn off this podcast because I don't want to talk to you anymore because he's me.
Weak sauce.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. So everybody should go pick that up.
That is awesome. All right. Now on to my most awkward choice, but turned out to be an amazing freaking book. The Naughty List. Would you like to take a guess as to what this is about?
It's about a guy who pretends to be Santa Claus and he, well, no, I'm going to change my mind. Sorry. It's a guy that finds Santa Claus, finds his list, and goes around to murder all the kids that are naughty on the list.
No. Damn but it. That was a good guess.
Okay.
So this guy is, it's the story starts out in the 1400s.
Okay.
And this guy, he lived in kind of the woodsy area. He married this girl, had a daughter. They kind of lived as outcasts. And then when they would go into town, they'd see all these like really poor children. And he thought about how sad his daughter would be if they were like that. So one night he wishes upon this giant star that he could bring a little joy to the children that needed it most, even if it was a trickle of happiness. And then he says, to this day, I hate that fucking star. I hate myself for making that wish. All right. And this, and then at that point, he started whittling dolls to the point where his wife wouldn't let him in the house. And then he would start bringing these dolls into town and giving them people. And then he realized that he never aged. He stopped aging. He said, this is a legit line out of this book, but I never seem to get sick or even grow older. Kind of like Paul Rudd. You see his wife and daughter die. And he just, every day he wakes up with this urge to keep doing this stuff. He's like 90 years old and he still looks like he's 30. And, you know, he would make all these toys all night and his hands would be all blistered and bloodied, wake up and his hands are fine. And then at one point he's like, you know what? I'm going to just try to kill myself a couple times. So there's like all these different ways where he was like, he like tied up a gun and tried to shoot himself. And he like sunk himself to the bottom of a lake. And he like did a bunch of other things. And every time he'd wake up and he would be like, God damn it. So eventually he started getting letters because the word of this dude who could who was making toys for children spread. So he started getting letters. And his name is like Nicholas Cinderclass, or Cinderclass, like Cinder. So then he meets this, because he wants to make more kids happy. He realizes that there's a bunch of dwarves that live on the end of town, and they are also outcasts. So he then realizes that they are really good at making toys. So anytime he needed anything, the star would figure out a way to have something happen for him. Like at one point he was like, oh, this donkey's not going to work to get to all these children in one day, but it's cool. And then he's like, how am I going to fly around? And the next day the reindeer show up. Right. And anytime a reindeer would get old enough or it would die off, he would just wake up the next morning and another one would be there. He said, my crew got shit-faced and gave all the reindeer stupid names that they thought were hysterical. So there's a picture of these three. The dwarves eventually call themselves elves, by the way. He says, I want to call that one there Dancer because she's got a nice set of legs. And the other one goes, I'm going to call that one Prancer because it rhymes. eventually, like, you know, the world continues on. He's at one point, he's flying around a truck with everything with these reindeers on. And one morning he wakes up and there's this machine by his bed and it just cranks out all these names. And it's all the people, whether they're good or bad. And he starts realizing that he doesn't need that list to know, but like some people are just a-holes. And then there are people that stop believing in what he did. And the whole time he's dressed like a cat burglar, which is hilarious. Like this, at this one scene, he's literally like shitting in a box to give to someone who is bad. He's like, some MIT grad student even published a paper about how I'm not real. They said in order to make my rounds, I'd have to move more than 3,000 times the speed of sound and how that would make the reindeer burst into flames. They think this is all good and fun, but fuck them. How they like being told they don't exist. Like, it's just really very meta vibe about it. So one day he comes out and the machine that spits out the names is gone, right? And he's like, well, that's not good. And he's like, maybe one of the elves got drunk and threw it in the river. And then he started noticing that somebody is starting to off all of these people that have done bad things. It's like scumbag actors who beat their girlfriends. And this dude who is, you know, facing indictment.
Yeah, Amber.
Right? And then one day these kids got hurt. And that's where it crosses the line. And now he's looking for whoever stole his naughty list. And the last line of the first book before the to be continued goes, because I'm motherfucking Santa Claus and I'm done screwing around. This book was so good. Like, it was probably the most fun I've had reading a book in a long time. It's very, very good. So
I thought I'd put Shining Star on.
Santa hates that shit. So
maybe that was the star took it away.
Maybe.
Away. Well, that sounds pretty amazing.
Yep. Oh no.
What?
I ordered food and I think they called to tell me that they canceled my order.
Wait a second.
But I couldn't answer it.
Oh yeah, I have to hit share screen. Start. Because I forgot. I didn't take screenshots of this yet. So Spider-Man. Yay. This is Zeb Wells, John Romita Jr. We are not here.
Tim, I accidentally muted you, just so you know. No one can hear you. I'm sorry. My bad.
Ah,
my bad. You got to do it all over again.
I did it twice.
I'm sorry.
Because I heard you say, Tim, I accidentally muted you. And I thought that was you saying, hey, now you're unmute.
Oh, no. And you weren't I forgot that I can mute you because I'm the one who owns it, but I can't unmute you. And I'm sorry. I was trying to mute myself so I could call the pizza place back and be like, hey, which I did do. But I didn't realize that I didn't unmute you. And I was like, shit.
All right.
So, sorry. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
My bad, everybody. My bad.
I'm pretty sure I can remember what I said. So, let's see. Okay. Amazing Spider-Man by Zeb Wells and John Romita Jr. This feels like Groundhog Day. We're not on Ramita Jr. bash. Let's get that out of the way right now. We're not going to
really.
We're not going to do it. He's a legend. This book looks great. I love his art. The only thing I can't unsee is Peter's third leg right there. You know what I'm talking about. That is not a thumb. That's a third leg. so, but other than that, he's a legend. So let's just move on. Peter Parker's in a hole in Pennsylvania. Why is he in a hole? I don't know. Let's turn to the next page and find out. Oh, wait. 6 months later. Dun, dun, dun. You're going to have to read more issues to figure out what's going on. 6 months later, he's in an apartment with Aunt May. And we're doing the whole thing again that we do all the time. And it's done a lot in this book. It's the one thing that bums me out is that Peter Parker's a jerk. He flakes out on everything. He's Spider-Man. He has other responsibilities. He's never there. Maybe you know he's Peter or Spider-Man. Maybe you don't know he's Spider-Man. All you know is that he's never there for you when you need him, so he's a jerk. And I'm really kind of over that part of Spider-Man's story. He's been around for how long now, and we keep doing that. But we're going to do it. We're going to have him be in a tough situation with Aunt May. He's going to be in a tough situation with his roommate, Randy, who is, I believe, was the Boomerang. He's going to be in a tough situation with MJ, who, by the way, it's 6 months ago, was ready to marry Peter. And now she has kids. You're going to find out she has kids.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she adopted kids with somebody.
Okay.
Yep. So a little weird. But what Randy wants Peter to do, he wants him to be like his wingman when he goes to meet his girlfriend's father, who is Tombstone. This is where the book gets good. The book gets good because we're getting into like the crime families with the Rose and Hammerhead, you know, all the other low level crime guys. And Tombstone is the guy right now. So I like that part of it. I like that he's going to have a little bit of a hand in the story. In the middle of the meeting, Digger breaks in. I don't even remember who Digger is, but apparently he's a gamma irradiated gangster, and he's talking about a green door. So we obviously know what the green door is. So the green door was allowed him to come back. A fight breaks out, and I'm kind of like, I read this a couple days ago, so I'm kind of using the panels to help refresh my memory here.
That's all good.
Yeah, and a fight breaks out. They kind of calm the fight down a little bit because he's there as, I think, the Rose's henchman. So he's like the Rose's muscle. Tombstone's going to break away because he has a dinner that he has to be at. Peter Parker's going to clean up. And then Human Torch shows up, who still can't turn the heat down. He is still that issue from all the way back in Fantastic Four 34 when they were in Latveria. Doom did something to him. Another moment here between the two of them. These guys are good buddies over the year, but Peter Parker, again, is a jerk. And then we have Randy sitting down with Tombstone, and the whole reason he's doing this is because he wants to ask Tombstone if he can marry his daughter, because he thinks that's what he would want. The book is, I'm trying to think of how I want to say this. It's not bad. It's just, I don't like the whole Peter Parker thing that he's a jerk, and I'm tired of that being a thing all the time. So I'm hoping that that will stop, and you know, get to a little bit different story. I hope to start video. My videos.
There you are.
But I mean, overall, like, it was a pretty good first issue, and Zeb Wells wrote several of the issues when they were doing it weekly, and they were pretty good. So I'm going to give him a chance and see. We'll read this first arc and and see where it goes, mostly because I want to know what MJ's thinking with, you know, wanting to marry Peter and then 6 months later adopting kids with somebody. So.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm still going to say that I didn't think the art was great, but that's all I will say about it.
I know it's a taste. That like it and some people don't, and it looks flat sometimes, but I think that's just the way that he drew, you know. And it's hard when you have a lot of artists now that are very good with computer drawing, and they almost ink and color all their work at the same time, and it adds a lot of dimension. It's almost just like a CG movie.
It's not even that for me. It's looking at it, this isn't his worst stuff. This actually is better than the last couple things I've seen.
The last couple things he did, I don't know if Marvel just wanted to like pump stuff out real quick or what, but it didn't look good.
Right. So, yeah. Anyway, all right.
That's a comic wrap up.
First spoiler warning for Moon Knight.
Moon Knight.
Moon Knigget. So if you're watching, and you don't want to talk about Moon Knigget, but you do want to talk about Doctor Strange with us, then you can mute right now, YouTube, and I will make a sign that says, Doctor Strange spoilers start now, and then you know that it's okay.
And when you see my camera flip upside down like that, you know that we've begun to talk about Doctor Strange. So,
okay,
I'm running on very low energy and creativity right now.
Yeah, it's definitely been a week. So Moon Knight. I just want to say that I think this show is definitely, I want to say it's my favorite one from Disney Plus.
I will say that it was very good up until the finale for me.
Really? You didn't like the finale?
Yeah, I mean, there were some parts that I liked. I thought that, you know, having like, you know, a kaiju kind of fight was kind of cool. Seeing Amit and was kind of neat. I still say that I really thought Ethan would have been more dynamic in this, and he wasn't. And I think that kind of bums me out because I was never a big fan of his, but I know he's a good actor. And I was thinking maybe this was going to be the thing that would make, you know, him make like him.
My only problem, I think, with the entire finale was where Moon Knight was flying. Because I'm like, that never happened. But I get like it's the whole Khonshu sky, blah, blah, blah. Like, I get that. I thought Scarlet Scarab was awesome.
At least he wasn't really flying with like his own power. Khonshu was doing it for him. So, Scarlet Scarab was cool, except I had one problem with it.
What?
She didn't want to be an avatar. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be your, or you can find somebody. So, she got to have, you know, she got to have the power. She got to be a superhero anyways. And it seems like kind of a cop out that she said she wasn't going to do it. She'll find another way, you know, but then still got the powers anyways. So that felt a little lame to me that they did that. I didn't hate the idea of introducing her as a superhero. I love that line when that girl was like, are you an Egyptian superhero? And she's like, yeah. I thought that was really cool moment. I just wish that it wasn't like, I don't want to work with you. I don't want to be your avatar, but I'll give me everything. Make me a superhero. So that's a little.
I don't think that's what it was, though. I think it was one of those things where it's like where it was kind of like there is a path. Obviously, people know what your path is. Somebody knows what your path is, and you just keep refusing it. And it wasn't, I'm going to do Khonshu's path, because yes, that's who really wanted her to be the avatar. But it's okay, as long as you're not Khonshu,
yeah,
and I can still do good things, that's what I'm going to do.
And well, the hippo, I think, was it the hippo that was to get her to be the avatar? And she kept refusing. That's how I kind of interpret it. Was, you know, it was just, I didn't think that she should have been able to have like the glory, I guess, per se, if she didn't want to commit to anything. You know, even Mark was like, yeah, I'll do this for you if you release me one day. You know, it might never happen, but you know, he perceived that there was an end in sight and is doing it. So I don't know. Maybe other people, you know, saw it differently, but that's kind of how I saw it. That was the one thing that really kind of irked me from that episode. So
I kind of saw it coming at some point. So I was just glad it ended up, she ended up being the Scarab and not the avatar for that, and like basically took over for Ethan Hawke. New Harrow, that would have been not as good.
Yeah, which is where I thought maybe it was going to go. Like mid-season, I'm thinking, okay, they'll release Amit. Amit will kill Harrow, and then she'll be the avatar because she's going to fight against Mark, you know, because of her father. I did think it was cool that, you know, in this series that we got mention of Bushman. And I look forward to a second season and hopefully maybe exploring that a little bit more.
Well, we'll see if that happens.
Well, I mean, you know, that he's not signed on for a second season, but you know, he's like, if the story's good, I'll be back. And Kevin Feige said, you know, a year or two ago, he's like, I'm done giving out big contracts. Mm-hmm. If you want to be here, you know, because before it was like, well, let's sign this person for 10 years so we have them. Oh, it's, we're so big, like you can come crawl to us and ask us for a part kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it, you know, he's like, if you want to be here, we'll sign you like film to film. So I'm sure at some point fans want it, and they give fans what, that's the, you know, for better or worse, that's the one thing Marvel's good at, is giving fans what they want. So
I really think though that we're gonna see a West Coast Avengers with him in it. That's, I mean, where I think this is.
That would be pretty awesome. It would be fun to see. I mean, having Stephen Grant there would add to some of the humor for the West Coasters. So I think he would fit in pretty well in that form. So,
but if it's like Hawkeye, White Vision, him, Falcon, Cap, Bucky, like all the Disney Plus people, She-Hulk. No, I think that would be kind of where that's leading to, in my opinion.
So, yeah.
But all right. Overall, I gave it a lot of thumbs up because it was good. So
I'm gonna give it a B minus the entire season.
All right. Switching gears
to Doctor Strange. Spoilers. This is a high tech official. This is brought to you by Blimpy Subs. Blimpy. You want the meat?
Hey there, Blimpy boy, flying through the sky so fancy free. Sorry. It's
made off of the worst meat ever. Turkey's not supposed to look that pale.
I'm strong. I drink Malk every day. Malk? Yeah. Brand X? All right. So, Doctor Strange, I will say, first off, I want to say I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
But it was really rainy.
Stephanie, put your headphones on so you don't get spoilers.
Go downstairs now. Go upstairs. Plug your ears.
Let me know when you have put those in.
Earmuffs.
Hold on. Are you going upstairs?
So talk about the Tom Cruise cameo, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, the Tom Cruise cameo. All right. Ron's leaving.
Okay.
She's grabbing her headset.
Good. We're good. We're good. We're good.
Did you get it?
We're good yet?
Okay. We're good.
Okay. So it was very Raimi, but in the way that the first half of the movie, I'm trying to focus on the movie, and I can't because it's so fucking Raimi.
Yeah.
And then when they really start getting into things and we get to the point where like the Illuminati shows up, that was like my favorite scene in the whole movie. Yeah. Like that whole chunk of time just validated so much for me.
So back real quick to what you were saying about the beginning, because I thought that the movie started off and the CG was really, really rough at first.
Yeah.
The fight with Shumagorath, and you see America running away. I was like, that's so green screen. That looks terrible. And then it got way better. Like,
yeah,
I don't know that it was that bad at the beginning. And this movie's been sitting for what, 2 years waiting to get released?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to the midpoint of the movie and on, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
A lot of creepy scenes. I agree with you. Like, the Raiminess was definitely there. If they wanted to make a horror film for Marvel, they did it, because I didn't see it going as dark as what it went. I was like,
oh. I actually expected it to be darker because they kept saying it was a horror film. And while I did take it as a horror film, I don't think it actually was like a deep horror to it. Like, because there was still like jokes, there was still some light, like light moments. But it wasn't like it was, it very much so to me was more Evil Dead 1 than Evil Dead 2, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there was no tree rape, but.
Yeah, I mean, I if you compare it to something like all the other, a lot of the other things it did, like if you compared it to, say, like, the Hawkeye, the Kate Bishop show.
Yeah.
It's definitely horror, you know? Yeah.
Oh, compared to anything else, it absolutely was a horror movie.
If you look at it standalone, maybe, especially if you're a horror fan, you're probably like, this wasn't horror. But if you compare it to, like, you know, what Marvel's done so far, that's dead, you know. So we already got their Christmas stuff. Now we got their horror thing. When they stabbed the eyeball on Shumagorath, and I don't care, I'm calling him that. When they stabbed the eyeball and it came out, I was like, oh, all right, we're going to go some places here. That was kind of my indication that they were going to go some dark places, because everybody at the theater just erupted with like, ew, like at the same time.
Yep. And then there was and then when you see like the dead body strange, I was like, all right, this is some Sam Raimi shit right here.
Yeah.
Like the things that I didn't like that bothered me were that America Chavez was way underused, and there are scenes, especially when they're like, when Wanda's doing her thing and she's trying to look at different multiverses, like that whole thing is very intro to the Raimi Spider-Man's credit scenes stuff, and it's just like,
it reminded me of Fox whenever Professor X was using Cerebro get out and show all the, you know, the different people. That's the kind of vibe that I got from that.
And that's kind of why I was like,
I feel like America Chavez was probably underused a little bit, because one, she's a new character, and two, like, she's pretty strong. And I think if you just throw her in the first film that she's in and you go all out, like, where do you take it from there? How do you keep those films grounded moving forward? Because it's getting tougher and tougher for them to ground these films with how spectacular they're going. So I think that while it did stink that she was underused, I think that might've been the reason why she was underused.
I can see that. I can see
that. It's a bummer, but it made sense to me. The whole Camartage scene.
Yeah.
Running. Oh my gosh, that was freaking awesome.
Yep.
When they're, you know, hiding all the reflections because she's gonna be one of the, and then she kind of does like that nebula, you know, like when Nebula like is readjusted and she crawls through.
Yeah. Very Ring. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they did a spectacular job with Wanda. And this was the Wanda that I wanted. I just don't know why they changed so much of the outfit between the end of the show where we got to see her for like what, 5 minutes, and this they gave her sleeves. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I thought she was fantastic in this. It almost should have just been called the Scarlet Witch and the Multiverse of Madness, because it was very much her show. Not that Doctor Strange was terrible in this at all, because he was awesome like he usually is. The one real chilling moment for me, though, and it was so subtle, was when she takes over the Wanda from the other universe, and then she like kind of like is fully in that body, and she goes to turn to the kids, and she looks at the camera for like a split second, and she's just eyeing you up, and you're kind of like, oh shit,
she can.
To my universe.
Yep.
Like that was the feeling that I had when that happened. And
yeah,
I thought awesome. I like
that part a lot. That was awesome.
Yeah. So that was their fourth wall break, because I guess Deadpool was gonna be in the in this. And they scrapped it. They said it didn't feel right. It didn't feel like right to the film. So they scrapped it. So that was like the Deadpool fourth wall break, but really creepy.
That's awesome. I love the like I said, I love the Illuminati scene. That was that was freaking awesome. Mostly because Black Bolt got justification finally. Like he is now, like it is now. No. The Inhumans were part of the MCU, and that was the actual actor from the TV show. It was.
He got justification for me in a way that I enjoy, because I think the Inhumans are stupid. And that was, she covered his mouth and then he went to talk and just blew his brains out with his own voice. For both of us, you got some justification because they recognize.
Yeah, that. But dude, when he flew down and he had the wings out, it was awesome.
That really is cool to me, as when he was like, I'm sorry, and he said I'm sorry to Doctor Strange, and the vibrations are coming out and just like rips him apart.
Yeah,
it was really cool. And I do think that Black Bolt and the Inhumans will I think that live action will serve them better than what comic books has.
Like
Marvel will do the right thing. And they're going to make these characters a little bit more interesting and less of a joke than what they feel like in the comic books sometimes. So I am excited for that, because when I read the Donnie Cates Death of Inhumans, I started that with like, yeah, the Inhumans are going to die. I can't wait. And by the time I finished it, I was like, damn, I kind of like the Inhumans a little bit. Like,
Dude, you need to read War of the Kings. That.
You know what? I had read part of War of the Kings.
So good.
I think I had, that was kind of like when I started getting out of comic books, because there's so many tie-ins for that.
Just the main War of the Kings line, and the Black Hawk mini. Those are the only two you need to read.
Because I wasn't a big fan of Vulcan when that whole thing happened with the Deadly Genesis. So like the idea of like something surrounding him kind of was just like, you know, but I'll definitely check it out, because I've come to like him a little bit more now, thanks to the Hickman.
But they fight in space, and then a Galactus train comes out of the Cancerverse, and it's so good.
I'll read it. War of the Kings with me? We're gonna read War of the Kings. I'm gonna read it.
So good. That's your homework for next week.
Well, give me more than a week.
Okay, it's your homework for
like the first podcast after the con.
There you go. There you go. You got 3 weeks.
Okay. Do that.
All right. Overall, I gave it a 6.5 out of 7. I did enjoy it, but there were definitely some things that...
That's a very weird scale.
What's that? I'm sorry. 6.5 out of 10. My bad.
Okay.
sorry.
I give it probably like an 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. I thought the action was really good. The story was fun. I thought just the complicated nature of each of these actors having to play 3 or 4 different versions of themselves. And you don't really see that bleed over into any one other character because there's a lot of differences. But I maybe would have gave it a 7. But then when Professor X comes out, and it's very subtly, it's like, and I was like, you just get a whole point.
Yeah, except that he looks so uncomfortable in that chair.
Oh, he does, for sure.
It's like huge. He's like,
yeah,
I'm so sad.
It does not
so sad.
Well, but it was
cool. I'm going to read your mind. He was like Davros from fucking Doctor Who.
Was the where he was reading her mind, and I liked the difference where it was the whole white room. I thought at first we were going to get some kind of like astral plane fight, like with him with his armor on. You know? But and then the way he got killed, like that was, you know what that reminded me of, the creepiness that they added in. If you go back to like Age of Ultron, when she first gets introduced. And she sneaks up behind and like whispers and like does a little bit. And then she did that thing where she walked backwards out the door and it was like almost stop motion. Like that, they took that and just like ran with it. But I mean, I don't know. It was a really good film. I'm really excited for the post credit for what that means. I mean, we got Charlize Theron is going to be in the movie universe as Clea. I thought that was really cool.
Yep.
And Bruce Campbell. We didn't even talk about Bruce Campbell.
So it wouldn't be a Raimi movie without Bruce Campbell. Also, did you notice his car? You notice Raimi's car?
No, I didn't.
So in the not in the Shuma-Gorath fights, but in the one universe where they go where everything's just floating around.
Yeah.
His car is there, which is also the same car that Uncle Ben was driving when he got killed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's like cool. It's like his Oldsmobile something.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll check it out again when I go see it. Cause I have to take Stephanie's since we both got COVID and almost died. So.
Well, I'm probably going to go see it again one more time before I can't on the big screen, but
yeah.
We got to finish moving the store first. So,
yeah.
Which reminds me, I have to go to sleep a little early. So, thanks for sticking with our extremely exhausted, less than awesomely entertaining as usual selves, guys. And we really appreciate it again. We will catch you guys again next Thursday. We're trying to be back on schedule. We will even be back the week of the con. And it's going to be fun. So,
yeah.
All right. Thanks. A great day, everybody. And we will catch you later.
See you later.